Yeah.
Mic check.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Gilmore Guys, everybody.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Demi.
Hey, man. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing, bro?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm so good. Well, except for one thing. I slept on my back in a weird way last night.
Did you?
Yeah, now it's all messed up.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, and totally relevant to this podcast that we're recording.
Did you party too hard because yesterday was your birthday?
That's true. It was my birthday yesterday. I'm 25
years old. Man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's one of those birthdays where the milestone is you can rent a car, and now the only milestones left are
run for president.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Run for president. And the rest are kind of sad, depending on your perspective. Because it's just like, oh, I'm 30. This isn't what I thought I'd be doing at 30. Oh, I'm 35. This isn't what I thought I'd be doing at 35. Maybe that's a really bummer perspective, and I need to be more positive.
Yeah, dude. Get some positivity in your life. I couldn't think of a...
Brody Stevens? Yeah.
Yeah.
Positive energy. Do you think Brody would do the show?
Brody, we love you.
Brody.
Call us.
Come on the show. I bet if we approached him...
I would love to get Brody. If anyone out there knows Brody Stevens' contact info, please
100%
forward that along.
His phone number, his tax ID,
social.
All that stuff. All right, but you know what? We have a guest today.
And it's not who.
It's not.
Alexis.
It's not Alexis Bledel.
She keeps... I don't even want to invite her anymore.
But we keep doing it.
We do.
It's like an abusive relationship at this point.
I mean, she's going to be on next week.
She will for sure be on next week.
100%.
Yeah. But this time, it's not going to happen. She went to the zoo, is what she told me.
Yeah.
So.
Told me the same thing.
Have fun at the zoo with your weird husband.
It wasn't even like, I forgot I'm going to the zoo. It's just, she was like, I decided to go to the zoo.
Yeah. She just said, I chose something over you. It wasn't like, oh, it's a scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
It's just, no, I found
something
better.
She's not even in town. She drove out of town for the zoo.
Yeah, she went to the San Diego Zoo. But.
We got something better.
We got an even better guest in light of that. You know him from Twitter. You know him from Favestar? And you know him from other stuff. Maybe you know him in real life. Guys, it's Jamie Woodham.
Hey, hey. Nice to be here. Super excited.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Play me out.
Jamie.
Damn, that's my
jam. It is Woodham, right? Or is it Woodham?
It's either.
It's either?
Yeah, it's...
Do you have a preferred?
Usually just Woodham, because that's Woodham. Simpler. But if I'm telling somebody and they need to spell it, I enunciate.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's just those two words that shouldn't be together, put together, like wood and ham.
Mm-hmm. They should never be put together.
Solid.
I'd eat Woodham.
You would?
Yeah.
Ham?
Yeah.
Wood and ham.
Especially throw some smoke in the middle.
Exactly.
Wood smoke ham.
Yeah.
Smoke wood ham.
Or wood smoked ham.
Wood ham smoke. Smoke.
Hyphenate it.
Smoke monster. Hey, that's for our Lost Boys.
I need to find a girl whose last name is Smoked, and then I'll take her name as a hyphenate, so I'll be wood smoked ham.
Oh my gosh. Is that a tweet?
Is that how last names work?
It's not.
We're like in the Twitter's writer room right now. Yeah.
All right.
We're pitching.
140 characters. Need to shorten it down a bit.
What if Ebola was a Halloween costume?
Are you single right now? Oh, boy.
I am painfully single right now.
Painfully?
No.
Speaking of Ebola, my sister lives in Dallas and has Ebola-like symptoms, so I'm a little worried. It's not a funny comedy thing, but...
I saw a report that I think someone in Plano had contact with the last Ebola victim, and I'm
Oh,
Plano, that's where all of my family lives.
Why are the Ebola victims suddenly like Mr. and Mrs. Populars? Like everyone, like it's like as soon as someone gets Ebola, 100 people come out and they're like, I was hanging out with them on Tuesday. Like we went to the club, he high-fived everybody there.
I saw that guy. He was sipping on everyone's drinks.
Like you said.
Well, that's why he got it, probably. Yeah. That Ebola victim that died, we loved you.
R.I.P. bro.
Can't come on the show. I'm Aww. Sorry.
He had to cancel his
appearance. I might cut this part out.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
We've been editing.
It's safe to say anyone that's a fan of Gilmore Girls is also a fan of offensive Ebola humor. I think the Venn diagram is definitely aligning.
Yeah. Big crossover.
All right, so Jamie, tell us about your history with this show, because you got the call. We asked you to be on last week, I think sometime.
About a week ago.
At that point, had you seen any Gilmore Girls?
I had, but it was one of those things that when I was a wee child, back around year 2000 when the show started, it was one of those shows that my mom would watch a lot, along with Seventh Heaven and Touched by an Angel.
Hey, I don't know if you want to say Seventh Heaven and Touch so close together.
Oh, no, boy.
Damn. That's a good call. You knew I was going to say that. Mm. I liked it.
Well, we have an aborted Seventh Heaven podcast now.
Yeah.
We were going to work on it, but now the motivation just isn't there
for whatever reason. That's probably the best choice.
Yeah.
So, it was always on, so I'd seen it before. And whenever I would see it, I was like, this is a pretty solid show. Right. I like it. Like, I like the snappy dialogue. It's like the feminine Sorkin.
There's a lot of parallels. Yeah. We've talked about this on the show.
And I know I just learned that you made that Sorkinisms video.
Oh, yeah.
Via
that's true.
The description on the podcast. And I'm like, The West Wing's my favorite show. So I saw that when it came out, obviously. The video you made. And I was like, I want to punch whoever made this.
Now you get the chance.
Here we go. On air.
No. On this audio-only podcast.
Yeah. It's happening. Everyone
took that so negatively, because I'm a huge... West Wing was my favorite show.
I could tell.
Too.
I was like, and then I was like, well, I don't think someone would have sifted through all of the like all of these different
every
shows.
Every single thing he's ever written. Yeah. And
Studio 60.
Yeah. Well,
it's my
Studio
jam.
60.
Maybe I like Studio 60. What I've seen of it.
Yeah. I know it's bad. Like in my heart.
Yeah.
I still love it.
I think it just didn't it just fail because it was up against 30 Rock and 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Was like,
it was kind of the same show.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't just because it was up against 30 Rock. It also on its own merit. It
oh
just
really?
Didn't, yeah.
Damn.
I think Tracy Morgan was a huge factor in that too. Like as soon as they had Tracy Morgan, it was over. That guy's gold.
I hope he performs again.
I hope so too. It's a shame what Walmart. I don't want to say Walmart did because then
it would be Walmart though. Like they tried to. They even tried to blame him like recently. Yeah. For like not wearing a seatbelt. It's like maybe your truck shouldn't have hit him.
I will say one thing. Is whenever you turn to talk to me, I feel like you drop out a little bit. So we'll readjust the mic.
Got
to
get up on
this. A little behind the scenes peek into how we make Gilmore Guys.
A little shop talk.
Yeah, a little shop talk. But okay, so you'd seen a little bit growing up.
A little bit, and I always liked it. And then once I heard it was coming to Netflix, really excited. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm like just me being honest with myself. Looking myself in the mirror, I'm like, Jamie, you're going to get into this show.
Oh, yeah.
You can fight it if you want, but it's not going to work out for you. And then when you asked me about it, I was like, it was a sign from the heavens. I was like, this is the motivation I needed.
A sign from above.
Yeah. And so
from Seventh Heaven?
No, again. Don't.
Guys, the show is not tarnished. Just the one man.
Yeah, true. Just like you can watch Annie Hall and not think about child molestation.
I can't.
You can't? Okay, well, never mind.
Bad time. To talk about my favorite movie.
It's like I can't watch I can't name a single Roman Polanski film. Wow.
Chinatown, The Pianist.
Oh, yeah.
Carnage.
Oh, yeah.
Carnage is great.
For some reason, my mind goes to Ghost Rider. I was like, yeah. But you
the pinnacle.
The PBS like show?
Oh, we got to start a Ghost Rider podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghost Rider gang.
That's solid.
Man, I was thinking of the alliteration. Couldn't come up with it. Okay, so we asked you to watch... Episode 108,
yes.
Love and War and Snow.
So much snow.
It's so much snow. Let's start the episode how we start every episode discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture.
I feel like our heart wasn't really into that one.
Because I thought you were going to go fashion. I was like, all right, I'm ready for it this time. And then you went pop and I was like, oh, goes.
All right, Pop Goes the Culture, where we take every single pop culture reference in the show.
It's super cut.
Like string them all together. And then, super cut style, just like Sorkinism.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Pop Goes the Culture for 108, Love and War and Snow.
How about a little Charlotte Bronte? Emily Dickinson, get a life.
You also knew that you wanted to marry Errol Flynn.
I didn't get the Hallmark card for that one.
Lane, Dean likes Jane Austen.
If this wasn't a major Judy Blume moment, I would kick her cute little butt right out of here.
A bad storm is heading your way. It's already hitting us here.
Well, don't panic. I'll get the Ark, you get the animals.
Oh, that's the cure.
Forget Jane Austen. You have to read Hunter Thompson.
You do have to read Hunter Thompson.
Well, gee, Mom, I don't know. Let me see. Black ice, treacherous roads. I guess I'll just put on my red, white, and blue leotard, grab my golden lasso, and fly the invisible plane on over.
I'm talking Legos.
Wow.
I'm talking Legos.
If I'm being truthful, I think that's my least favorite line.
Probably. when it happened, I was like, Rory.
Because, too, she says... the lead up to that line is Lane saying, I don't fit in your life. And she says, Rory says, oh, you do fit into my life. Really? Yeah, I'm talking Legos.
It's like, not her voice. It's like, it's not like that's like a Pacino line. It's like, I'm talking Legos.
I'm talking Legos.
It's like she was also on Compton Mothers. I'm talking Legos.
Yeah, it wasn't that. It just felt really strange.
Maybe Mega Bloks were bigger at the time. She didn't know if it would stand the test of time.
Yeah, they had to be timeless. Yeah.
I think if there was any theme there, it seemed like there's a really strong female literary theme.
Yeah, which like you find a lot.
Yeah, it was like Bronte, Austen, Bloom, Dickinson. I was like, man, she must have been sitting by like a college. Like American English lit textbook, and yeah. She's just like, oh, fuck, I need it. I don't know if I can.
Well, Paladino's production company is called Dorothy Parker Productions, I believe. That's the ID at the end.
Nice.
So it's all in there, and it's all there. So did you like the episode? We'll just start with that.
I did. Okay. When you first asked me to be on, it was episode 7 at that point.
Right, and then we had to change it at the last minute.
Very understandably. Yeah. But I really dug episode 7. So I was really into it. And then this one was, it was a lot different than 7, mm-hmm. but I still really liked it. And I think it was the first, cause I watched the first 8 episodes in the last 24 hours because I'm that cool.
Mm-hmm.
But episode 8 seemed like, I'm pretty sure it was the first Lane-centric episode, or at least the most Lane-centric.
Yeah, she actually has somewhat of a storyline here.
Yeah, she had like a B story when like before, you know, Rory just kind of pops into her parents' place and does her Marco Polo routine and
right.
Yeah.
bounces a little exposition off her and then she's gone.
Which is interesting because you say her parents' place, but you see Mrs. Kim.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the pilot episode, she says my parents. I think she might say my dad at one point. In the course of the whole show, spoiler, see Mr.
Really?
Kim. No, whoa. He never shows up.
Do they mention him?
No, so I don't know if it's like a retcon, like, oh, we killed him off or... He's just like absent or on business, like Richard is a lot, but he never shows up, not once.
That's cool.
No,
I like that though. That's
yeah.
They probably just realized they didn't need to pay an actor,
yeah,
to play like that small of a part. They're like, we'll just have the mom come in and
like,
and say something.
Mrs. Kim do anything? Why do we need a second?
Yeah.
Well, she does a lot more coming later, but. But maybe it is a weird thing where we've been talking about how like underwritten the male parts are, mm-hmm. to the point where some of them don't even exist.
Yeah, some exist barely in speaking or just talking about them.
Yeah. And up until the last 2 episodes, I will say Luke hasn't had that much to do other than just be kind of grouchy. You're like, okay, whatever.
He's still likable, though.
He's still likable, the little... grouchy guy.
He gets a little more likable in these last 2 episodes, particularly in this one where you just realize finally, like, he's just an angry hippie. It's weird. I never would peg him as a hippie, but he's just like, how come we're recreating a fight to take back land that we stole? And it's like, oh, that's very...
It is hippie.
So you're that guy.
Yeah.
And he had, I think like a couple episodes before was when he had the thing about the environment, and he was making Rory feel bad about something, and I was like, oh, that's like a new,
the
that's
greens,
an interesting character thing, I guess.
I would not have seen that in him. He just
and I'm only
so.
Realizing that now, because he even, I mean, we're saying hippie, but he dresses, not at the time, maybe, but he dresses kind of like a Portland
hipster. A little hipster.
He does. I think
it's just like flannels, backwards baseball caps. Mm-hmm.
The backwards baseball cap and like scruff.
Army jacket.
I always just figured he's the guy who's like, let's go play some baseball. But he's very much just...
And he is kind of... I think Scott Patterson in real life used to do minor league baseball.
Whoa.
He seems like a baseball fan, but he's just more of a hippie. Like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
So let's go through the episode... from the beginning and then skip around and make less and less sense as the show goes on. But we open with our first town meeting. which I love because these become a staple of the show, just like Friday Night Dinners become a staple of the show.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite part of this was Taylor equating lava lamps with drug paraphernalia.
Yeah, that was my favorite line.
It's the first time we meet Andrew, who's one of the townies. And what I noticed in this is that there is a lot of people of color at the meeting. Like, there's a lot of black people, and I think I saw a few Indian people as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I remember one black person on stage, because I remember him giving a look to the old guy next to him that Luke was yelling at. Just like the look that's like, right? Like,
here we go again.
This guy again.
But they're there, but they don't seem to be...
in the town.
Town at all.
They come from out of town for the town hall meeting.
Yeah,
it's just like lend a voice, and then they're like, all right, we're going back to where we live now.
Yeah, it's a
not in Stars Hollow.
Yeah, whatever the equivalent to like Shelbyville is in the
that's true.
In the Gilmore Girls universe.
Ogdenville.
That kind of bugged me. I don't know. I like that Miss Patty is kind of like the chairwoman to like his vice president or something.
It makes sense.
You see her becoming more and more that role.
Yeah.
And then the show opens with the first snow falling and Lorelai listening to Max's voicemail that she left him or that he left her.
Yeah, that was weird.
Are we charmed by that? Is it kind of weird?
No, I thought that was very weird. I made a note that it seems, I think, we've been talking about how weird like some of the dudes in Stars Hollow are. Really, I think it's just Stars Hollow is a town full of creepy people.
Yeah, it's this vortex of, of creepdom.
I'm going to wake up really early, my hair's in pigtails, going to open the window, look for snow, going to listen to this voicemail that a teacher sent me ages
with the
ago.
Volume on max, so it wakes my daughter at 4 in the morning. Like,
it's crazy. That's
she actually... came out and she's like, are you yelling at somebody? Like, what? Like, are you fighting? She and he's well, just like, repeating himself.
Yeah. It was weird. Yeah, that was very strange.
It's a question.
Yeah.
Do it. I don't want to get into spoilers or anything, but am I the only one that not a big Max fan? He's kind of smarmy was the word that kept coming to mind.
You take it, Demi, because you're watching this.
We're both on the first run here.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think this is the first episode that I've actually felt... like before, like Max is, I've always been kind of on the fence about him, but I still like him more than all the other guys in the show. This is the first time that I'm seeing him that I'm like, I really liked him. I don't know.
Okay.
So you like him even more now.
I do. I thought that I still think he has some weird conversations. Like when his car breaks down, he's just delivering every line like, oh, wow. So I'm here in Stars Hollow. And it's like,
yeah.
Like he's trying to be cute, but it's not working.
I will
but,
say, I turned a little, like, I dislike him less now. Like you said, and I think, I don't know. I think he was really cool and understanding throughout the episode, which is good, I guess, you know, if people are into that. Being nice and understanding.
I did like how their date happened, like the impromptu-ness of it. Yeah, it was a magical little thing. And in my experience, those are like the best dates anyways when you're not expecting them. The accidates, if you want to call
it. Accidates.
You love dates? Ladies, if you're listening.
Yeah, I tried to say that and make it sound like I've been on a date
Jamie
recently.
Loves dates.
Like, dates are fun. Let's They're get still
first.
Happening.
I think it would have worked happening. If everyone saw you slowly going for your Starbucks.
Yeah. I did get coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, can you just effects. Shake that
here
completely
we go.
Into the mic? There
Thank
we go.
You.
Thank you.
Ice coffee.
Little proof. That wasn't our ADR
is it weird
Foley.
That for some reason on their date in the movie theater, like the only thing I wanted Max to say was like, shut up, we're in a movie.
They were talking at a level
they were.
That was rude and upsetting.
I was expecting someone behind them to just go, shh, but it didn't happen. Everyone's like, no, we're okay with this. It's an old movie.
Well, and kind of similarly, I noticed whenever like Rory and Lorelai getting their little spats, their little fights, they always do it. They're out in public.
Yeah.
And they're kind of yelling at each other. So it's like, it seems like to everyone else in Stars Hollow, it's like, oh, that's the crazy lady and her crazy daughter that argue in the grocery store. Yeah.
There are like 30 people in Stars Hollow. I'm sure they're all this happens every day.
This is, they're like, oh, we got to turn up the music because Lorelai is screaming at her teenage daughter again.
Bump the la-la-las.
There was a nice, speaking of the la-la-las, that just reminds, I know we're skipping all over the place, but Rory has to stay at Emily and Richard's for the night. On the night of Friday Night Dinners, Lorelai can't make it because of the snowstorm. And there's that one moment where she goes into her mom's room, and she's looking around, she looks at the dollhouse, and then she goes in the drawer, and finds the old photo book and the pictures of Lorelai with Christopher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who I think they shot it far away enough, like, no, we're probably going to recast this guy. Because the guy who is Christopher doesn't really look like that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, coming up. But I just love that because it's just like, another one of the staples of the show is like there's these sequences where there's not a lot of like stylistically impressive storytelling to be had. Like it's very basic camera choreography,
master shots,
one-ers and stuff. But there's something really nice about like just those silent sequences that play out. And it's just Sam Phillips, who's a woman, not a man.
I made that mistake.
Demi might have thought Sam Phillips was a man.
For some reason, it's like, oh, Sam Phillips must be the composer and the La La La's are some woman.
Sam, we love you. I actually do want to have you on the show.
That would be terrific.
I think she might do it. Maybe. If we're nice enough.
Would she sing the La La La's?
That would be so amazing, dude.
I love how we keep making plans on air.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Is this an on-podcast?
That's the best way to do it, though, because then you hook people into... They're like, well, they said it
now. They're invested. Yeah. Then we can start like a Twitter campaign.
Exactly.
Like, hashtag Sam Phillips for Gilmore Guys. But the four is the number four.
Yeah.
Or something a little
important.
Snappier.
That's important. Sam Phil for Gil Guys.
Oh, how about just Phil for Guys?
Phil for Guys.
Hashtag, okay, guys, if you really want to make this happen, just tweet out and put hashtag Phil for Guys, the number four, PHIL for GUIS. And we're going to make it happen.
We're going to do it.
I want to see this trending.
Maybe she doesn't even have a Twitter. It's like, she's not seeing any of this, but that's fine.
But going back to the, Lorelai so rudely awakens her daughter. Let's talk about that robe and let's do the fashion report.
Fashion.
Okay, let's talk about the fact that Rory is dressed in a bathrobe that I feel like a woman in her 60s would wear. I don't know, just the idea of a 16-year-old girl in a bathrobe at all.
She's getting comfortable in a bathrobe.
Do you guys have bathrobes? Is this
no.
Okay.
I don't, but I will say this. When I lived in colder climates, I did. And that might be a Northeast thing.
Okay,
and
especially if it's in Connecticut.
Yeah, if it's winter and it's, you know, you're in a big drafty house, which, by the way, I don't know how Lori affords. But, Lori? Maybe.
They're close, so he gets...
Lori? Lorelai. Is that not a...
You said
that
Lori. Nickname?
That's like the couple nickname for Lorelai and Rory.
Oh, yeah.
They have the same name. So.
But it's different. We just want to be so factually accurate on this show.
Specific.
It's so important.
Lorelai.
Remember how we had corrections on one episode?
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, when we're going to redo it again, which we might, we're going to call that Gilmore Goofs. I don't know why I didn't call it that the first time.
You really goofed up. That's the first goof.
Yeah, that's the biggest goof of all.
So isn't Lorelai the mother? She's Lorelai the second. No, I know that she is, but I'm saying she's Lorelai the second, right? Because they mention
the first,
like, the grandmother or something, who is the first Lorelai.
Who is still alive. She's not dead. Yeah.
So are we coming up on an episode with three Loreleis in it?
Oh, yeah. There's an episode coming up in the first or second season called The Third Lorelai.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like meeting Tammy. Or
idiot
Tammy
savant
too.
When it comes to Gilmore Girls.
Tammy from...
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, oh, Tammy's I thought you here. Meant Tammy as in Melissa McCarthy's titular character in the movie Tammy.
Oh, Melissa. We love you so much.
Speaking of which...
Is she around?
Melissa.
Oh. Hey, Melissa.
What's up?
We're recording. You know we're recording. You're never here unless we're recording. I don't know why you're here.
It's just a coincidence, I promise.
Okay.
Gotta go.
Of course you do.
Bye.
Bye, Melissa.
Weird. Again, I was
such a. I'm stunned. Yeah, we're not even. I wasn't even expecting her to be here. That's crazy.
We want her to be a guest, but she'll just come to the room where we record it and not ever step
in. She won't even come in the door. She'll
that's typical McCarthyism.
Ooh, McCarthyism. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Blacklist, baby. Which I'm sure there actually are a lot of McCarthy references on the show later
on. There has to be.
So, where are we? Fashion report. Lorelai's pigtails are cute in that scene.
They are.
Are there any other outfits that stand out to you guys?
She has this, like, you know the Paul Frank monkeys? Like,
Yes,
one shirt that's just, like, a tiled pattern of that. And I was like, this is very, not only very 2000s, but very weird for her to be wearing.
For
I feel
a grown
like
woman?
Yeah. I think, like, even Rory would be like, I don't know, I think I'm too old for this.
Yeah, don't allow that, Chilton.
How about Lane's band outfit?
Yes.
That was pretty hardcore.
It's great. I love the Sgt. Pepper reference that goes with it.
Yeah,
oh, totally.
It was very Like after she said it, I was like, "That's the right thing."
Yeah, I was like, "Perfect, yep. Poignant."
That was boom. That fits the show.
Wait, then, what was the reference? What did she say?
She, I think Lorelai sees Rory mm-hmm. and Lane together, and is like, "Hey, Rory, Sergeant Pepper."
Yeah, yeah, that was it. He nailed it.
Oh wait, I didn't put that in the Pop Goes the Culture.
Don't worry about it.
I've screwed shit. Up. Ugh. This is a Gilmore goof.
Looks like we gotta have like a little no. That plays whenever we realize
you
we
should
fucked
loop.
Up.
You should play the la 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 backwards whenever that happens.
Gosh, that would sound demonic. No. Ah, I thought I was so comprehensive with those. Oh my gosh, I gotta
dude,
go back.
You do a good job. Don't worry about it.
No, don't say that.
Don't beat yourself don't up. Say
you're that. Great.
It's
you're
all
flawless.
Good, man. You got it. You are the show.
Oh man, and the fact we'll talk about Lane's storyline right now.
Yes,
she's kind of feeling on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, she, for me at least, and it's not the actress, but it's the character. Mm-hmm. Just bugging me so much.
Yeah,
she's
I agree.
So needy. She pages Rory, which is amazing. She has a pager.
Yeah.
I kind of went forward and back on her the whole time because at the beginning of the episode, you know, she's still kind of a tertiary character.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't really see her much. But then as we saw more of her, I was like, okay. I was like, she's a cool character. And then, like you said, by the end though, I was like, she's run the ship into the rocks. This
yeah,
is
she's too needy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like she can't, you know, Rory can't really help that she's going to a new school and she had to go to her grandparents. Like you said, it's not like she blew her off to go to the zoo like some people.
Like some people. Ugh. That will remain Alexis Bledel nameless.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did she ever get resolution to her?
It seemed like she resolved it too quickly. Like she kind of just slept on it, and then she was like, "I'm good now."
With the boy?
Like, yeah, with the weird lemon-dragon hair. Oh.
His hair did look good. To
oh
be
yeah,
fair.
I noted that.
Yeah, I wanted to do that. Yeah,
that's the hair I've always dreamed of.
Rich Blumenfeld.
Well, go ahead.
Rich Blumenfeld. That was it.
Good name too.
Do you think that's a little racist? That
Blumenfeld?
No, oh. not just the well, maybe actually well. Is that a trope that Asian girls are with Jewish guys a lot?
I wasn't familiar with that.
No. Really?
Did you make that?
Did you just make that a trope? Yeah.
I just feel like I see that a lot.
You just revealed one of your hidden biases.
Maybe it's the social network. I don't know.
That makes me think that like whenever you're walking around, you see like an Asian girl and you're like, I'd like to ask her out, but she's probably just into those Jewish guys.
Like, not one of the chosen people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, not racist. Good to know. Maybe I am in a different way.
Do you guys think that there's a thing where it's like, you know, Jewish people just love to get coffee? Just making up more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a weird thing with Hispanics where they, like, drive cars?
That's the crazy
thing.
So,
I saw, no lie, I saw a Hispanic person driving a car on my way here today.
Wow.
Of course you did.
Okay. Yeah. So, that's confirmation. So,
that's
it's
crazy.
Not,
they keep doing it.
It's a stereotype for a reason, guys.
Yeah.
But back to non-racist discussion,
mm-hmm.
I really like Lorelai's monologue about the gift of snow. I actually do like that. It's like a little cheeseball.
Yeah, it was a little cheesy. I was with it, though. No, I was with it. Okay. I was still with it.
I think
it, but
that
it was...
Lorelai's obsession with snow just took over any storyline here. Like, I was just like, I don't know what conflict is happening, but she loves snow.
It's in the title.
Yeah, even
when Warren's snow. Where's the war?
Even when something
the war's
else...
the reenactment, bro.
Oh, right.
Right?
Which,
and the war between Rory and Lane.
The very minute war.
The metaphorical war.
I wish you'd pay more attention to me. Sorry.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the conflict.
Yeah.
I'm talking Lego.
But I feel... Legos, baby.
Legos, baby.
Girl, you're so Legos, you don't even know it.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag made.
I wish I had recorded the I'm talking Legos just so I could play it over and over.
I wish I would have cut it out. Yeah,
I want that to be my text tone.
Yeah. From now on, every time
somebody
Kevin texts
hits
me
up.
Be, I'm talking Legos.
If anyone wants to make any fan art of Rory saying I'm talking Legos,
perhaps,
but make her out of Legos or something.
Yeah, or with like Pacino glasses, just like talking Legos. The risky business glasses.
Darn Legos.
Just I'll put this offer out there. I will pay upwards of $50 for a piece of art of Rory saying or showing herself saying, I'm talking Legos. If you make some sort of Rory Lego related art, I will buy it from you for
commission.
$50 American currency.
Oh boy.
I want it.
I would love to see that just framed. Just
like, that's where it would be.
Yeah. Above a fireplace.
Right by my Game of Thrones map and my Aaron Sorkin sketch. It'd just be on my nerd wall.
You want a sketch of Aaron Sorkin?
I have a sketch of Aaron Sorkin.
Oh.
Yeah, it's...
Is it a sketch that you drew for Studio 60?
No, it's... Yeah, no, it's one of my friends drew it.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool.
Which era is it? Because sometimes it's way...
It's over... Choice. It's like the... it's a page from a West Wing script, and they just drew it like over the words.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it sounded nerdy at first, but that's actually cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
it's very
really,
nerdy.
You've really turned us around on this. Which script was it?
What, sorry?
What script page was it?
It was just from the pilot.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think it was like the last page where it's like the first mention of what's next or whatever. Like the episode ends with it. It's
cool. So good. We could truly host a West Wing podcast.
Yeah, we should. That's going to be our spinoff. The West Wing. The West Wingman?
West Wingman.
West Wingman.
I was just thinking that, and I was like, no,
so good.
Yes. Good.
By the way, I don't know how wise it is to put all these million-dollar ideas out there for people to hear.
Anything you hear in this podcast is copyrighted.
Yeah, I'm buying domain names right now on my phone.
Westwingman.com?
Let's just take a quick intermission to thank our full sponsors and to buy some domain names.
Squarespace. Go Squarespace,
we love you. Come on the show.
Yeah.
Do you guys have sponsors?
No.
No one will pay for this.
Currently, we are operating at a loss. We don't want to make money. We're not going to make money. We have lives.
It'll come, man. Yeah, the sponsors.
You do want to make money?
I'm going to quit all of my jobs.
Oh,
all of my one job.
Oh, don't.
Yeah, I'm quitting tomorrow, and then I'm gonna shell. I'm gonna be like Doritos, Dell, Microsoft, IKEA,
Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme.
Ooh, there's a Krispy Kreme.
Name and brands
Burbank.
Now. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Let's go to it after this.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Do they have any donuts on this show? Or not so far. I don't know why I'm asking.
They had to watch it in the last episode.
They had the candy thing. Yeah.
We're talking a lot of references to the last episode. I guess we could have done it.
It happened. We could have. Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, was that? That was 7?
Yeah.
That was 107.
Okay. Are you guys not doing every episode?
We are. We just have terrible scheduling issues.
No, I got you.
Horrible.
Mostly in part of Alexis Bledel, who will be on 107, so it's fine.
Yeah,
she's going to show up after the zoo.
She'll probably tell you, like,
yeah, she
which
will
candy
be on
was real.
Because we're recording 108 before 107.
Yeah.
But she will be on 107. After we record this.
Okay, we mentioned the battle a few minutes ago, and then I got way off track. I want to talk about...
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Firstly...
Speak on that.
Stars Hollow is like a single city block. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way that a battle happened there. And there's no... Also...
Don't you love that, though?
That was the thing, though, that there wasn't a battle. It was... They had, like, 12 guys...
They just stood there.
They stood there guarding, but then, like, the... What, I don't know, I guess it's British or something? The British Army?
Yeah, the turncoats.
Doesn't that sound like the 12th man thing from A&M?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does... Like, there's no way that a battle happened there. And also, very Warner Brothers lot looking in this episode.
It's funny, like, have you guys been, like, where they film it and stuff on the WB lot? I went there... I mean, I used to work on that lot, so I've seen all that stuff. And then every time they're outside, like, I'm just looking at everything, and I'm like, man, that's so expensive. I was like, they brought, like... And I was like, oh, man, they have 10 cars in this shot. They brought 10 cars onto the lot. And then it's like they have, like, everything, I think a couple episodes back, like, everything was Thanksgiving Day decorated.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, man, the poor PAs and set people that had to decorate this entire city block for, like, a 30-second shot of them walking down the street.
It's crazy. But also, I mean, I'm sure it's less expensive than having to
definitely
like a very real location.
Go to some actual tiny town in Connecticut.
Tiny town. When Rory goes over to Richard and Emily's, by the way, every time I see Emily in an episode and she wasn't in the previous one or whatever, I realize how much I missed her.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh.
Doesn't she have like a sweater in this episode or something?
Does she? I don't
think
remember.
So.
I think she was wearing a collared shirt, actually.
It's possible. I just remember her wearing something that I was like, oh, that looks very like seasonal or not.
Yeah,
Emily.
It was either maybe like a cream sweater.
Yeah.
Something or like
maybe
a green
shirt.
Yeah,
possibly.
I don't know.
But the one thing that happens with Emily and Richard, by the way, I love that they don't really have a storyline because it's just them hanging out.
Yeah,
I
wish
I
want to
see
them hanging out
4 hours.
Yeah,
100%.
And they go to cook a frozen pizza. And
which is an ordeal.
it's such an ordeal for them. Rory, the timer is going off and I don't know what to do. And then Richard just yells like, get down here. Like,
yeah, her vulnerability and like desperation at the moment. She's like, oh.
It was so endearing.
There's a lot of echoes or future echoes of Lucille Bluth like How much can a banana be? $10?
Go see a Star Wars. But I just wish so much that we had seen them cooking. Like, I wish that was just a solid 30 minutes of the show, just them trying to work the timer and it catching fire or something.
Yeah, but, I could have definitely seen more of that storyline and less of the Lorelai
Max.
Yeah.
Not that it was bad. It was just like you said.
But you're more.
I like the dynamic and yeah, the whole episode should have just been them cooking pizza.
Like, literally, I don't think anything happened in this episode until, like, the last 10 minutes when Rory gets back, and then it's just sort of slowly resolved.
Yeah, there's no comp. I love it.
It was good. It just felt so, like, I was just like, is something going to, how far?
Incorrect.
I wish they just focused more on Richard and Emily, because I think rich people making food is a reality show.
It's a genre unto itself.
Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is, I'm going to say it, gang, it's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. You can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with, and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is, of course, due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys. There's a nice moment when Rory goes to get the photo book, goes down to the table, and they're going through it, and it's just like so sweet, and they're like
and
reminiscing.
It turns into a bad moment.
Before that, though, Richard says, talking about her crush on Errol Flynn, which was in Podcast the Culture, she tried to get me to grow one of those little mustaches.
Could you imagine him with a little...
In season 5.
No.
He has it.
Well, I actually looked up the pictures of the cast, and like now he has like a mustache and stuff, like in real life.
It's not Errol Flynn-y. It looks
good. It's more.
Okay,
yeah.
I was like, oh,
it's
boy.
It's bushier.
Yeah, it's way bushier.
It's like a normal mustache.
Mr. Flynn. But there is that moment where they go and see that picture of Lorelai's debutante ball dress.
Is that what it? They said coming out party.
Oh, it's a coming. Yeah,
I had only heard that in reference to like a different, very specific thing, and not like something that a teenage girl would do. Was it? Is it like a like what's a coming out party? Other than,
I think it's like, and they do an episode where Rory has one, but but it's like
a debutante ball, right?
Is it the same thing? Are they synonymous?
It's like a prom type thing, or
are we three dudes trying to figure out what a coming out party is?
Should we just Google it? Should we just bing it?
Yeah, yeah. By the way,
bing it?
October 11th, National Coming Out Day. That's true.
Yeah, that was like two days ago.
Homosexuality goes.
One day ago.
Yeah, yesterday. Not for society, high society.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. That's when she said that, I was like, oh, that's the only context I really know of, like, coming out. Yeah, I was like,
is Lorelai a lesbian?
Rory?
It is a debutante ball, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Look at us, three dudes trying to figure out.
We figured it out, ladies.
Nailed it.
We figured it out.
I feel like three men and a baby was just like, how do we change a diaper? Oh, I don't know.
But the baby,
how do we make this frozen pizza?
I love when it's just too hot and she just kind of gives up on eating.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But the best part is I wrote down the line because it's so good. Oh, she picks up the pizza. She picks up the pizza and says, here goes nothing. Rory puts like Parmesan on it.
Yeah.
And the delight is just like so. It's interesting to think about the show, maybe in this terms, but it happens so much slower than it does on other shows. We're like on 30 Rock, the show is all about Jack and Liz, and that's the core relationship. And really, like the big thrust of it, other than like Liz having it all and blah blah blah, but the thrust of that relationship is like these two circles becoming a Venn diagram. Yeah. A lot of Venn diagram references on the show.
Yeah. We love circles.
What's that?
We love circles.
We love those front circles, baby. Remember that?
God, I do.
Woo. Anyway, so there's a Venn diagram, and Liz is like kind of liberal and kind of, you know, out of control in her personal life, and Jack is more, you know, uptight and studious and conservative, and as the show goes on, they become more and more like each other. And that's like what's interesting to watch about the show. On this, there's a little bit of that with Emily and Lorelai in terms of their, in terms of Emily's uptightness and conservatism, kind of thawing over time as those relationships heal with her daughter and her granddaughter, and Lorelai the same way, kind of. But I will say, I think Lorelai overall in the grand arc of the show is much less of a dynamic character than Emily is. Emily does become things that Lorelai doesn't as the show goes on, in my opinion. But
yeah. Well, I think even
her becoming funnier.
Like, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of loosening up a little bit. And I think for the, just in terms of like the archetypes and stuff, I think Lorelai is very much like the straight man in the show. She's kind of the Seinfeld of Gilmore Girls, where everyone,
deal with teen pregnancy?
Exactly. Yeah. She remains more or less consistent as a character, and everyone else kind of bounces off of her and changes and evolves and stuff. Not to say that like she doesn't in some small ways, but like you said, it's like she's less changing over time. It seems like she's kind of the rock character wise, and everyone else is kind of growing and changing.
Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Resemblance.
A lot of resemblance. And that's why I think her stubbornness, and I think we talked about this a little bit before, her stubbornness is a little more dangerous because she doesn't think she is. Emily has self-awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
But Lorelai doesn't as much in terms of her own shortcomings and faults. So there's not as much room for her to grow because she won't allow it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
The war reenactment is great just because you get to see finally a moment of Luke being a sweet, normal person.
Well, and he, you know, you have that moment where he kind of catches her and Max in the snow being all romantic. And that's the first time you actually see a side of him that isn't like completely curmudgeonly.
Yeah.
And it's like
very vulnerable.
Yeah. And he looks like really pissed. Like he looks more angry than I thought he would be. Yeah. it wasn't just kind of like a longing. I'm doing it. Like people can see me, but it's.
Oh, we should take a video. Like we did the first episode.
Yeah. Where did that go?
We'll post it to the Twitter. Someday.
Right. Yeah. It's less of a longing glance as a like, you son of a bee. I'm gonna get this guy. I was trying to bring coffee to some freezing soldiers, and all of a sudden I'm out here looking at my lady love, making out with some
I just wanted him to Ivy Leaguer drop the coffee.
Yeah, just like
in slow motion.
That would have been
like,
awesome.
Turn around and throw like a dart at a picture of Max Medina on the wall or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
And I don't think there's
slow motion.
I don't think there's ever slow motion on this show.
Really screwed the pooch on that one, Paladino.
Yeah. Amy Sherman, if you're listening to this,
we hate you. Don't come on the show. I'm kidding.
Oh boy,
the show would probably still be on if they employed slow motion better.
Yeah,
we'd be going into our 14 or 15th season right now.
Can you imagine if there's 15 seasons of the show?
I couldn't.
I'd still be watching.
I would give up.
I would
on
watch
this podcast.
It too.
They probably would have ran out of pop culture references a couple years ago, though.
They would have ran out.
Yeah,
all the culture's done.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd start looping ones. Yeah,
they'd be like it would be more like a Dennis Miller bit. Like they.
I'm still
they'd be
talking
like,
Legos.
Yeah, I'm talking Legos. This is like in the Middle East.
That would. It's like ISIS.
Yeah, it's like I'm ISIS and you're Turkey, and I just want to invade your personal space.
Yeah.
They do get more political as the show goes on. Yeah. There's a lot of weird Bush references.
I believe that, especially with the Iran-Contra affair reference.
Yeah, Fawn Lake, baby.
Yeah, and they are in Connecticut there. That's like prime Bush-hating territory.
Yeah, I can't wait until they drop a Cuban Missile Crisis reference or something.
They do.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Terrific.
Yeah. did you guys have any favorite lines in this episode?
Absolutely. I think I might have mentioned it already, but... Yeah, there's no use for a lava lamp unless you're on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I loved it, because he's right, but
do you guys like Taylor? Taylor Dosey. He's the one that's
he's
like...
He's the townie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one where him and Luke conflict a lot.
Oh, the guy who owns the market?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's not bad. He's just kind of annoying, I guess.
It's weird. I know I keep mentioning the previous episode. I liked him more in the previous episode. Than this one.
We could just make it a reverse two-parter.
The decorations. That's the last one. He's trying to get him to decorate. Yeah.
Oh, God. I want to quote that episode so much.
Well, we will. We will.
Yeah.
Later.
Remember, if you're listening to these in the order that they are released, remember when I said that thing about the cans in the previous episode? That's the quote I want to use here.
Remember on the last episode when Kevin and Demi said I was like the best guest ever? That was really nice of them.
That was nice.
Before
of
the
us.
Fact, they knew since that
in
was
the last
seven,
episode.
It was also great.
This
how
is
Alex
eight.
Fladel
they just
showed
knew.
Up.
Oh, that's
yeah,
so well, unexpected.
She will. Yeah. She's going to in the last episode.
That's great.
She will in the past.
In the previous episode.
She will have already been on here.
It's like a Looper type situation.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, you were going to say, do you think?
I was just asking if you think.
I do.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Nice. Do you think, Jamie?
On occasion.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Socially.
Do you think?
Again, yes. We've been over this.
This is a new segment. Do you have cognitive processes?
Speak on that.
Do you think?
Sometimes it's like my brain's doing stuff in my head.
Straight observation. That strip, the photo strip, like the photo booth thing that she picks up with Chris. And
closing shot.
Yeah.
1983.
Doesn't Lorelai look like Liv Tyler?
A little bit. Yeah. She didn't look like Lorelai.
Nice.
She
squinty. Did not.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, I mean, obviously, I guess it was like 16 years ago at this point, but at least. But
we can talk about that ending. Because that's how the episode ends.
It was very cinematic.
Right.
It was like out the snowy window. And
it was very melancholy, which I really appreciated. And it was like weird. There wasn't a lot of build up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
At all.
It was really unexpected.
It is so interesting how the storytelling takes place on this show. Because I do not feel like it's very traditional.
Yeah, it's
things will just
not.
Be dropped in and then they'll just like, then the episode will end and just kind of weaves in and out, which I just really, really like. And, because how's it? I mean, because this is Rory in the house. This is after Max and Lorelai almost go to the bone zone until Lane cock blocks him.
Dude, when she rubs his hands through her hair, through Max's hair, I was like, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. And then she turns around and I was like,
here we go.
Ow.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't, again, I think this might have been the last episode where Lorelai and Suki are talking in the diner about like, she's like, plus it's been a while since I've...
It's been a while.
You know. And like, Suki doesn't get it.
A couple episodes ago.
Yeah. And she's like, you don't know. And she's like, you know. And then the guy next to him, he's like, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Horny Lumberjack.
Horny Lumberjack.
Yeah, yeah. That guy's
a great recurring character.
Instant favorite already.
Oh, yeah.
He's very good.
He just walks by and confirms things. He's not creepy. He's just like, yeah, it's true. What just happened? Whoa.
Well, that was my ringtone. I'm so glad that was on the podcast.
Do you have any fun soundboard effects for this episode?
Let's see. Oh, not of this episode, I don't. But I do have a go-to from a previous episode that I just want to bring out again.
Which one is that, Demi?
Well, why tell you when I can just play it for you?
Hurry!
Try a plum, they're better than sex.
Miss
Pat. That lady's so creepy.
You
think she's creepy?
In a good, well... In a good, I like her.
Turn on him.
I'm not.
I wish you guys could have seen that because we all just
even
went,
the body
language.
He was just like, "How dare you?"
No,
wait a minute. You misunderstood. I meant creepy in the old English, yeah, the old English definition. Yeah,
you know how bad means good.
Yeah, like, so she was bad, man. Like Mike. It's in a good, you can tell she's like a cool, good person, but then at the same time, it's like,
she's over.
You realize a lot of the time she's talking to teenage boys at the supermarket,
yeah,
and she's like, this is like an orgasm in your mouth. And you're like, no.
Oh, she's that Jewish.
No, I don't. I'm really good at accents. I think I nailed that. That's what she sounds like. No, but it's, she's. I think it's less of a... She's not creepy. I take that back. But she has...
Thank you. That's all we wanted.
She has an issue with boundaries. Wanted.
She does.
She totally has a boundary issue.
With people that are underage. If she's talking to Lorelai and Suki, she can be whatever she wants.
Yeah.
But it seems weird that she's like...
Does she ever... Is it ever just like...
No, it's always children.
Children and men.
Yeah. But she's just a strong personality. I do like, though, how they have started... they'll just have random cutaways to her, like, teaching a dance class or doing whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Thanksgiving one, like, that was cool. I like when they show her, like, doing what it is she does, like, choreography and dance and all that stuff, because she's really loud and likable and funny. And she's directing these kids doing a little dance, like she's directing, like, a
Broadway,
like, the
play.
New York Ballet
or
something.
Yeah.
And
a lot of foreshadowing conductor. To Bunheads. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I see a lot of like, this is where it's heading. R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Bunheads.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
Bunhead Boy is coming soon.
It is.
Bunhead Boy is coming soon.
We are 100% going to do that. Not a joke. 100%.
Yeah, I'm in.
Oh,
I'm
maybe
kidding.
I should.
No, I'll...
If he's out, I'm a Bunhead Boy.
You're a Bunhead Boy?
I'm a Bunhead
Boy.
Looks like we got two Bunhead Boys. No, it was just the... No, because you said 100% like three times. I'm like, it's going to be funny if I'm just like, I don't know. I'm so busy.
100% for sure.
I'm so busy in
Demi
a year.
Demi is committed.
In a year.
One thing that just made me roll my eyes, this is my least favorite line. It's just... Or least favorite moment, just...
More
Dean
than Legos?
Insisting. I love that in a, like, this is charmingly bad kind of way, but this was just like, come on, Dean. When he's just like, you gotta read Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, yeah. That made me hate Hunter S. Thompson.
I did too.
Well, here's an interesting thing. You might be able to confirm this or not, but I'm pretty sure he referred to him as Hunter Thompson.
He did.
Like, he didn't even use the S, which was like, come on. Like, who are you, his best friend?
Yeah.
That you're,
or
there's
Hunt-C.
Like, oh,
Hunt
yeah,
Top.
Me and Hunt Top. Yeah. Where
Hunt,
like,
Hunt.
It's like, oh, he, you know, when we're just chilling, he lets me drop the S.
By the way, I read him in college. I read Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Did you guys read him?
No, but
yeah,
just know that...
There's no point.
No.
But it's such a, like, rebel teenage guy thing to
say. I was just like, this is so, like, this is prototypical teen.
Exactly,
like, you gotta read Kerouac, you gotta read Catcher in the Rye, you gotta read Chuck Palahniuk, and you gotta read...
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
But then at the same time, Rory does kind of does the same thing, like... Jane Austen is very much like the teenage girl, like prototype. Yeah. So it was interesting that, I mean, I guess they had to make it relatable. It was like a mainstream show and stuff. But at the same time, they were just like, what are the two most stereotypical, like, male-female teenage reads?
I think I gave Rory a pass because, it was the book was a prop. It's like, oh, cool, I read that. But
yeah,
it's just
like...
You gotta read Hunter Thompson. Just like, what is this? Like,
very off
book club?
It's like,
very
I have off-putting. To read him because you have long hair and you're a rebel type. Is that why?
His hair.
That hair.
We hate his hair so
it's,
much.
I want to talk
weird.
About his hair.
It's
every
very
90s. If we
can.
It's
very
like 90s.
It's like Eric Matthews' hair.
Yes.
It's like the middle part, and it's just kind of hanging,
Matthews.
Not doing anything.
Keanu Reeves and Constantine.
Hey, coming to NBC this fall.
That's, oh boy, yes it is.
That's probably Keanu. The most relatible reference for that hairstyle, since everyone is familiar with Keanu.
Everyone knows Keanu Constantine. And Constantine.
Yeah,
I previously called it Night at the Roxbury hair.
Yeah,
I think very that's true. Close.
Yeah. We just got to come Big up with more sick movie. Burns for Dean's stupid hair.
His looking like
stupid. Yeah, should be. You guys should make it a new segment. Like Dean's hair is worse than
9/11.
Exactly.
Whoa, let's. we'll take a few steps back from that. But yes,
we're gonna go Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor is a strong one.
That's a little bit. Yeah. That's a little. We're a little removed from that.
It's like 50 years, 60 years ago.
Dean's hair is worse than. The acting ability of the guy who shot Abraham Lincoln.
We are never going to get him on this show.
Yeah. Dean?
Jared Padalecki.
We're not talking about his acting, bro. What? We're talking about his hair. And I bet he would confirm.
Oh, no. I didn't say anything bad about him, the actor. I said Dean's hair is worse than John Wilkes Booth's acting.
Oh, no, ability. Yeah.
So let's just make that clear to him.
Are we saying we're not?
He's great. His hair sucks.
We're never getting John Wilkes Booth on the show.
Yeah,
that's probably true. Not now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think he'd do it. What's he doing now?
I don't know. I'll tweet at him.
He's just chilling. In jail still. Did he go to jail?
No, he got off because he's white. Anyway,
despicable.
How do we rate this episode?
What's your rating system out of
stars? Changes every. Out of literally five, changes every
and just
episode.
We choose an item.
You do like. You, can you do it
like first
out of Stars Hollow? Okay.
I would say three out of five Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't believe we haven't done that.
Why? Should we just do that?
Contributing.
I kind of like us just choosing something every
episode. Yeah, something different.
But I also like that as like a consistent rating. Like it's the U.S. dollar to our different currencies.
Good
metaphor.
Exchange
rate is strong, yes. Baby.
And then you bowed like a Japanese person.
I did. I was like, I did good.
Respectable.
You really were proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what can maybe for this one, you could do it out of X snowflakes.
Yeah.
Well, we do two different ones.
See, oh, everyone thing. Gets
we,
their own?
Yeah, everyone gets their own.
Okay, yeah.
It gets very complicated.
Let's go around then. I want to think of my own. I'm not doing snowflakes.
Well, I would say it's a strong episode. Mm-hmm. Wasn't as much Richard and Emily as I would like.
Yeah.
And I do think Emily's at her most interesting with Lorelai because there's just so much like
mm-hmm. history. There's
a lot of clash there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just her drummer. Most likable, but her most... Well, she was very casual in this episode, and I loved that.
Yeah.
I think I just like anything Emily does, but...
I did like the casual more than, like, the 16th birthday party thing. Yeah. Really didn't like her during that, which you're not supposed to, I guess, because she was kind of the bad guy in that one.
I noted
one, but...
that I didn't like her in that episode, but I still, like, I didn't like her on purpose. Like, I think that was the
yeah,
point.
Yeah, exactly.
But
she
I
was,
think
like,
that was the strongest
guy.
Episode so far, so
I didn't like her in that episode, but I loved her in that episode.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think it does.
But truly. It really made me feel for her.
Right. And we haven't touched on him too much, but that's bad phrasing. But
Seventh Heaven.
Yeah. I saw it coming.
Richard.
So did he.
Do you guys
didn't we have a dog like never mind. Sorry.
You're never gonna get him on the podcast now.
We don't
Stephen Collins?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
I would
good.
Hate for him to
good.
Be on the show.
I'm just letting you know that your goal is being met. He's not coming on and
terrific.
Nobody wants him on. But Richard, I'm a big fan of Richard. He's really likable, I think.
I found him. He had a real nice sassy moment in this one, finally.
Finally, the
when
Richard
Emily
sass.
Was like, she's malnourished. This is the best food she gets all week.
Oh, yeah.
He says, Rory, do you need an international relief to get the
yeah.
She's fine. And he got to be like a little sassy and catty in a way that he hasn't been before. He just like floats in and out and gives her money and is kind of oblivious.
It was one of those things, and this is something that I like. It might sound like a bad thing, but I really like it about the show in general. And it's true of all like Sorkin shows and everything else, is I really like how unrealistic the dialogue is.
Yeah.
Like people don't actually talk like that, but I love Sorkin shows and I love this show and shows like it because that's how I wish people talked.
It's, yeah, so an it's idealistic.
Exactly.
Way to see the world.
It's everyone is smart. Everyone's witty. Everyone references, you know, Errol Flynn or whatever. And it's, you know, it's just a good time. But, I think in this one, and in that instance in particular, it seems like one of those things where, like, when he started asking Rory, like, do you need relief effort, blah, 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 and she and Emily just kind of stood there. I was like, no one would just stand there and let him finish this long, sarcastic diatribe. Like, they just cut him off and be like, okay, I get it.
Shut up.
Yeah. But it was funny because, and I, when he started doing it, I watched her the whole time, and she's just kind of like waiting, like, he's going to finish this long routine that's meant to embarrass me. Like, she's just kind of waiting for it to end. And then she's like, okay, I get it. But yeah, that was good. And I like Richard in all of them. I liked him, his first little instance of like him and Rory at the club and stuff. Yeah. I think they have a good, grandfather, granddaughter vibe. That's pretty.
Richard is so fun.
And it gets he's a very good, he's a really good foil to Emily. Yeah. Like, they make a good couple, because that basically seems how a lot of old couples are, is the, you know, the wife will be really serious and polite and stuff, and the guy is just like, I'm gonna say whatever I want.
I'd rather be sailing.
Exactly.
And we didn't even talk about in that episode, but in Rory's birthday party episode, there was such that nice moment of affection between them
on the porch
with the... not on the porch, but it, between Emily and Richard, when she's setting stuff up and he goes, you look really nice.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, it was so, and it's so cool for this show too. Just like we've talked about how it's cool that it shows, like, you know, women of different like shapes and sizes and stuff. And it's cool to show women of different age too. And to show like romantic affection between two old people.
Right.
Yeah. That's what everybody wants to see.
Oh, everyone on the WB. Yeah.
CW is all about old relationships.
Isn't it weird that the WB no longer exists?
Yeah.
This aired on a network that does not exist anymore.
I blame the CW for its downfall though too, because wasn't it the last season that they switched over to the CW, and then that was the last season of the show?
Because
it was a whole different demographic. It went from being like,
it's very
family oriented to like specifically teenager oriented, which I think the CW
how much
is
I missed
now.
The WB until now.
Yeah, I mean, they had really solid shows.
Jay Frog, what's his name?
Jay, hello,
Mr.
My
Frog.
Baby.
Hello,
yeah,
my darling.
As far as I'm concerned,
hello,
the song
my
is
Deborah.
Name.
Deborah,
Raymond. Ray.
Raymond.
I don't. I like him.
This has turned into like a totally different podcast, and I really like it.
Yeah.
If we're gonna transition to Everybody Loves Raymond, I want to talk about episode one or two, the suitcase. No, I'm just kidding.
Is it really called the suit?
And the bag. Like, it's something. It's one of the first two episodes. Is about like he comes back from a trip. I think it's episode two. He like comes back from a trip. And he sets his bag right down by the door, and the entire episode is like every time him and Deborah see each other, like Deborah will be like, take your bag upstairs and unpack it. And he's like, I will. And then it becomes like, it goes on for weeks and the bag is still there. So then it's like this war between them of like, whoever moves that bag first loses. It's kind of like what roommates do with dishes. It's like, I'm going to see how long the other person can go. That's Everybody Loves Raymond, if anyone wants to check it out. That's on Netflix too.
It is on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah.
I will maintain the opinion that I think Raymond, Everyone Loves Raymond, was the last great multicam sitcom.
Yeah.
I think so.
Maybe.
Friends.
No, it was
I think
after Friends.
Yeah,
it was
like
2005,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Then yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people say How I Met Your Mother.
To me, that's a single cam comedy shot cheap.
Well, I think it's more or less that like they don't shoot comedies that way so much anymore. Right. Now it's a lot rarer, I think, to get that style. So it's like, but you said, it's probably the last great one, because it's kind of that method has kind of died off.
Right.
I was really hoping that Melania would be a return to form, but
yeah,
have you seen it?
Yeah, it's,
we might cut this part out.
It leaves
a lot
to be desired. Okay. Well, I mean, you're not going to get John on here.
No, I love Melania. Is literally my favorite comedian.
Yeah, that's
I love
what we're
so
saying.
Much.
Like,
such
I,
a bummer.
I
yeah,
so,
he's my number one.
Wow. Oh wow,
yeah,
that's a. It's an
like
underdog
it.
Pick. Yeah,
I know, but
he's really
the,
good.
He's the first comedian whose special I listened to that I was like, I need to listen to this immediately again.
Yeah,
the top
yeah.
part, his 2009 CD.
So
Aces.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah, I got it.
You're saying.
Are you saying she had anal contusions? Oh, you're saying he likes little girls with pigtails?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Melanie, we
you're
love you.
You're saying his name is Stephen Collins.
We just don't love your show.
Oh, boy.
As John said it.
I have good hopes for your show. I've seen episodes 1, 4, and 6, weirdly, and 6.
Yeah, I've seen a couple random
better
ones.
Yeah, I think it gets better.
But it's not, and I'm the same way. Love John. I want nothing more than for like this show to take off and be big, but I think the pilot got like the lowest ratings of like any new show so far. It's just not. It's not, it shouldn't be on network. Like, if it was on like FX or IFC or something, it'd probably do insanely well.
It needs
well.
A bit of edge to it.
But well, if it was on network, they couldn't get Martin Short and Elliot Gould because that's network money, baby.
That's very true.
But it's one of those things where, like, they're trying, it is in no way a broad mass appeal show, but that's what they're trying to do with it. And that's not what he's good at. Like, he's like a comics comic. He's for like people who are witty and smart and understand like pop culture references and you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's they're trying to make them appeal to everybody when that only really works if your comedy is like super safe and broad, like Mike and Molly and, you know, 2.5 Men.
Melissa McCarthy, we love you.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird that she's still
is she here? Oh, there she is.
I thought you said you were leaving.
JK.
Okay. Well,
she's such a goober.
No, I am.
All right.
I'm sure you are this time.
Bye, Mel.
Oh, she did a Nelson impression at the end.
Yeah, it was good. She did a great one.
Yeah.
This has been Men on Mulaney. Thank you so much for coming to the side podcast.
Mulaney
the
Men.
Side podcast.
Can't find Mulaney Man.
All right.
Or you do like the 50 Cent one. Mulaney Man, wish death upon me.
Nice, familiar.
I don't know that one.
Mini Man is from his first CD.
Oh, I thought it might have been Millennium or something. I don't know.
No, it was just Mini Man.
Was his first CD Disco Inferno?
No, that was The Massacre. That was number 2.
Oh, right,
first one
was
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Right. Why do we keep getting off the rails? Let's do
let's rate the episode.
Episode.
I gave it 3.5.
Oh, also one thing. For some reason, we keep going back and forth between 5 and 10. So,
like, yeah. Well, you said everyone just makes up their own system,
yeah,
right?
So,
yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Go to 100 if you want.
I'm going to give it 3.5 Sgt. Pepper hats.
Out of how many Sgt. Pepper hats?
It's up to you. No, out of 5. Out of
okay, 3.5 out of 5.
It could be really good. Really
yeah,
good.
Because it was strong and I really enjoyed it, but there wasn't the extra oomph like there was in
the previous episode.
In the previous episode or in like the Rory's Parties episode.
Yeah.
Dammy?
I'm going to say 5 out of 10 hair... finger throughs. What's it called?
5 out of 10 hair finger throughs.
Because at least 3 happen in
5 out of 10 hair tussles.
Hair tussles. There that's we go. Perfect. Nice. Rich's hair. It's. I don't.
So
think...
that means it gets a 50. If you were grading this and this was an essay,
it's a 50.
Like Emily C. Emily Dickinson, shut up or whatever. Get a life. You would give it a 50%.
Thing is, 50 sounds so bad because like technically that's failing. But I mean that in the sense like this is just.
It's the middle of the road. Yeah,
sure.
Like nothing fun happens, or nothing particularly exciting happens. Mm-hmm. There's no real conflict. There's nothing that's bad about it, exceptionally. But there's also nothing that like draws it into the.
Yeah, there's probably less to talk about in this one.
Exactly.
Okay,
it's probably why we mentioned like every other episode too.
Yeah,
in the course. Of
it's
this
like
discussion.
In this one episode. Well, and maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll try to like because I've seen them all. Uh-huh. So maybe I really need to discern like. We can combine these episodes.
Yeah.
Because think about it, we could have made this 107 and 108.
We easily could have.
Yeah. But we didn't. And Daddy screwed up. But we'll try not to. We'll talk about
it
later.
What do you rate it?
All right. This is my journey. And I kind of mentioned...
Set the scene.
Yeah. I kind of mentioned earlier, I am still in... I'm in the, much like Demi, I think, I'm in the honeymoon phase of my Gilmore Girls journey. Because I just started like about 24 hours ago... And first couple episodes, I was like, okay, this is good. I'll probably like this. By like episode 3 or 4, I was like, oh, I'm in this. I'm in this to win this.
Right.
And I'm like, now I'm like, when I get into things, I get like very, like obsessively addicted, not in a bad way, but I get really into things like once I like them and I want to, you know, watch all of it and learn about it and read about it and stuff. So when I... Up until the last like 10 minutes of the episode, this was a pretty middle of the road one for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably, you know, you're looking at like 7 out of 10 frozen pizzas.
Mm.
But then I think by the end, with that nice little like melancholy ending that it had. I think it bumped it up to an 8 for me. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Because
it was a damn good ending.
Yeah.
I really like that ending.
It was, yeah.
And it was funny, too, how it paralleled the last episode pretty closely, too, where Rory, coming from the kitchen, is looking into the living room and seeing Lorelai and Max, like, talking and enjoying each other.
Yeah, that's really
just like
true.
Lorelai looked at Dean and Rory in the last episode.
Oh, boy. Yeah, right? About that. Yeah.
And so it was really solid. Quite a moment.
Those are both really good shots, too, because they go from, like, one person and their perspective, and then you kind of see through the house and see the others. And then with this one, it was a really fluid pull. I don't want to get, like, too technical, but it was, like, a really fluid pull-out.
A-plus dolly shot,
It was, and it went right through the window and out of the house, and I was like, oh, wow, that was really, really well shot. And it was, I did like the ending, because it was you hear Lorelai and Max kind of giggling and having a good time, and then she turns cloak like Phantom of the Opera or something, and then Rory gets all like deep. She pulls out the thing, and she's like, oh, this is what I could have had, but instead I got this Max dude.
This Max SOB in my house.
Yeah. But it was solid. It was,
maybe
8 out of 10.
Maybe in future episodes, she will get what she wants.
I think she will.
Keep watching to find out.
Oh, boy.
Guys, thank you for listening. This has been Gilmore Guys, a Stars Hollow cast.
A very wonderful episode of Gilmore Guys. Yes. Thank you.
Super good.
Thank you, Jamie, for coming by. Jamie, we loved having you. Will you do another episode with us in the future?
I will do every episode.
No. Not that many.
No.
Jimmy looked all happy, and Kevin's like, that's not what I asked.
No.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Like I said, I'm in it now, so I'm going to be watching one way or the other. I might as well watch and come discuss with you guys.
Question, how familiar do you think you are with the theme song?
I'm probably 5 out of 10 frozen pizzas in the theme song.
But you know what?
I know it decently. That's well.
Fair. The best way to learn is by doing.
Yeah?
Is
this how you guys go out?
Unless it's like flying a plane or something.
Yeah, practice.
Jamie, will you sing with us?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Jamie.
1, 2.
We're out on the road.
Feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you leave,
when you leave,
I will follow you
anywhere
that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow.
Anywhere
that you tell me to. If you need
me to be with you,
I will follow
you
where you lead.
Man, that felt good.
Nailed it. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks for having
you all.
Us.
Thanks, guys. Great. Goodbye.